James chapter 1. Now, Miss Shirley this morning stole some of my thunder and my message, but it's all good. Same Holy Ghost, but God is good. These next few days, I really want us to concentrate on our families. As your pastor, I believe families are important. Don't you agree? And if we're not praying for our families, who is? It's one thing to know Him, but how many want others to know Him too? I want everyone I know or ever met to be in heaven. Are you with me? Especially our personal families. And many times they become the hardest to reach. But how much the more that we need to pray? We need to pray for them that doors open, because many times with things that are familiar, it also becomes more common. And sometimes the testimony of who we are in Christ can kind of go by the wayside because I know you, their family. But it still should be powerful, even in our own personal families, what has happened to us. What's happened to you when you got born again should reflect in your family. They may not totally understand it, but they should be able to go, there's something different about you. Say amen. How many of those that's showing a change? And what's difficult is many times we want an instant prayer, we want an instant response, so we pour on a lot of salt. And too much salt makes you what? Thirsty or gag. Say amen. How many of those, our conversation needs to be sprinkled with salt? We need to look for opportunities. When your family knows you're saved, you look for opportunities to share. Come on. I've seen people get turned off and then they don't want to hang around Christians. I'm preaching now. I've lived this. I want my family saved yesterday. But I've learned that there's opportunities. That if you pray for opportunities to share, God will give you a word in due season. That when it's there, it'll penetrate that area. And many times, it may come from a conversation from the other individual. Hey, what about this? It'll open the door. How many of us, the Lord's able to open the door? How many of us, He's a way maker? Are you with me? And in James chapter 1, are you there? As we begin to pray for our families, James 1 verse 6, it says this, let him ask in faith. When you pray for your family, ask in faith. Look at the next word. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave driven by the sea and tossed by the winds. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Notice that when we pray, I want you to focus on that and say, you know, God's going to do it. I mean, that takes some areas of faith. And the biblical example is consider Abraham and Sarah. I mean, he was pretty old when he had a child. Way past normal childbearing age, would you agree? I don't know too many ladies at 90 want to bear children. Anybody here want to take that role on? I mean, it's hard to bounce a little junior around. And he's 99, bless God. He's up there, hello? But the truth is God promised to him, he says, listen to me, I want you to look. I want you to look at all the stars. These are what your descendants are going to be like. He gave him a word picture. He says, I want you to look at the sands. As many as the sands, that's what your descendants are going to be like. Now, how many of us, when you receive a word from the Lord, you got to hold on to that word and engraft it in. Because everything is going to come against it. And many times, we use time against ourselves. Lord, if you said it, then the time's irrelevant. You're still going to bring it to pass. I mean, sometimes when it's a delayed thing, it's like, well, God isn't answering. That doesn't mean anything at all. Remember, a day's like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. We're the ones hung up in time. When you get a word from God, start to log it in and say, you know what? I'm not wavering. The Bible says in Scripture that he staggered not at the promises of God, but was strengthened through faith. I want you to look at your family and say, you know what? They're getting saved. Bless God. They're getting saved. Bless God. I'm praying those obstacles remove out of their life in Jesus' name. That I'm not going to waver of what I prayed. Now, the problem is this. You can get in the flesh while you're waiting. When Sarah said, hey, I'm past childbearing age. Why don't you have a child with Hagar? How many of you entering into the flesh at that point? And then here's where the great spiritual men go, oh, that's a good idea. Say amen. How many knows even Abraham was weak in that area? Now, I've talked to my wife about that. I go, could you do that? She says, there is no way I'm offering up some other lady for you to have a child. It's just not happening. Say amen. So how many of Sarah had a little bit to do there too? But the truth is they wanted to see that fulfilled. They wanted a child so bad. For Sarah, she wanted to remove, as it were, that stigma or curse that she couldn't have children. But when God promises you something, he doesn't need your help. He'll do it, but he wants to do it through you. So we start to walk in the process, and the process God has set up. Come on. If people still have breath, there's still hope. I said there's still hope. Some of you have grandkids that you want so desperately to serve the Lord. And God work in their areas, amen? And a lot of them you raised up and brought them to church. You used to, I know you did. I seen some of them. How is the Lord still able to reach that again? And some of them have children now too. God, bring them and bring them back. How many of them, what he's instilled in there? So you're speaking that arena, so I'm not going to waver. I need to trust God's ability. I need to trust God's affection, and I need to trust God's awareness. All these things that he's aware of, he knows these things, and it's on his heart. How much is it on his heart? You know, and he loves you too, deeply. And how much more the things you care about? In heaven, my thing is this. We're going to be surprised who made it. And who didn't? Say amen. Listen, as we pray for our families, we need to pray with fervency without faults. In James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous has a lot of power or avails much. Pray with fervency. Listen to me, it isn't this little bless me prayer. Oh, Lord, bless me. In Jesus' name, amen. No, get down with it. If you're home and you can make some racket, make some noise. God had shouted out before the soap commercial did. I mean, shout that out. Hallelujah. Man, we just shout that out. Now, I know there's time and place. There's being appropriate where you can. But listen, if you're with you, it's time to make some noise. You got a dog in your house? Preach at your dog. Amen. He'll look at you. Make some racket with that. Man, you stir yourself up. It works. Every sporting event, somebody is stirred up, true? They're getting into where they're at. In the natural, they're encouraging whoever. How much more in the church should we encourage one another? Amen? You can see fervency. Jesus prayed fervent. You know what? Jesus prayed fervently, and he's a preacher. He isn't no walking around, oh, Father, bless me now. Help us, Lord. No, man, he got down with his Father. The Bible says no man spoke like this. When he preached, it said, man, he doesn't preach like the scribes or the Pharisees. He doesn't teach like them at all. He taught with authority. Come on, get into that area. Stir yourself up. I have to like take like that giant spoon of the Holy Ghost and stir yourself up. Amen? My favorite thing on the mixer is that last button. Liquefy or whip or whatever that last one is. I used to hit that as a kid and all the cookie dough would fly all over. My mom would yell at me. But I would slowly step it up when she wasn't looking. I'd start at the slowest speed and barely working. It got a little bit more, a little bit more. And I couldn't wait to hit the last button. She'd come in sometimes, what are you doing? Then I couldn't do it. But man, there were times I pressed that number 10, I think it was, and man, it just flew. I loved it. How many knows we need to hit liquefy sometimes? Come on. We need puree. Okay, well, bro, whatever that is. Hit puree. Hit that button. If you have to step it up slow, sometimes like this, my wife says, you make too much noise in the morning, all right? I have one volume. I really do. Even when I whisper, I have one volume. She said, you're way too loud. Shh. But that's how it is. But she's used to it. But however it is in your home. Man, sometimes you got to stir it up. When I get in the shower, you know what? It's time to puree or liquefy. When Paul prayed that Israel might be saved. He worked in them. He had that fervency. Oh, I want all my countrymen to be saved. I want Michigan to come to Christ. I want our families to come to Christ. When we pray, we have that upon our heart. You know what? I'm not settling for less. I'm not leaving this planet limping out. The promise is this. The church in the latter days will be greater than the former days. And I feel that's today. I feel that's the time now. The church needs to arise. It needs to declare God. Our God is God. And if you need to have proof, he'll bring down fire from heaven. Hallelujah. How many knows that he'll always stand with his people? Oh, praise God. When we pray, we need to watch in that. We need to watch in that area. If you see some movement, continue with that. If you don't, you need to sow into that area. I'm going to put some seed, some power on that. I'm going to put some demand upon that word. It's got to produce. I said it's got to produce. The problem we have is when it comes to prayer and when we have to wait. I don't like to wait. Anybody like me? How many want it now? I want it now. I want it yesterday. So sometimes when I have to wait, I'm like, oh man, I got to wait for this. But Lord says, hey, listen to me. I'm working it out. I believe personally when God does a miracle for somebody, he's already lined up 18 other miracles. You're just waiting to see them all manifest. And if he's touching your family, he's touching somebody else's family too. Hallelujah. I mean, God has a plan. I have great expectancy that people are going to return to the kingdom. Amen? I really do. I have that within my heart. I already have a party planned for all new converts that come in. And all those who've been away from the Lord, I have a party planned already. You're going to come to my party? You're not going to be a party pooper, right? You're going to come to my party. I already have a plan. I want to see it rejoicing down the hall. People getting touched. Testimonies being shared. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. That only God can get the glory. Some of you have been waiting for years for your family to get touched. Now's the time. Hallelujah. Say, God is good. During this prayer time, we need to work. It's not like praying and give up in those areas. Sometimes you got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. It may be those nudging to call. I mean, we need to be obedient to that. Maybe send them a word or be the one that shows forgiveness first. Even if you're totally right. I mean, sometimes that requires. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we can stand justified in our position. We fortify it. But I would rather see them saved. Amen. Even if I have to humble myself and you get, that's still fine. And I've learned this. When somebody gets a heart change, forgiveness begins to flow in them too. And it's amazing how they'll come back and say, you know what, I'm the one that need to apologize to you. It'll happen. Just like it happened for all of you. Where would we be without Jesus? As we pray for our family, faithfulness is a portion of it. We can't just nilly-willy throw it out there and not do it anymore. Colossians 1:3 says, we thank God, for our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I mean, that's a reality. It's like you continue to hold that up. You continue to pray in that arena. You continue to believe in those things. Not that God hasn't heard you, but you know what? Prayer changes you. And I've learned this. The more I pray about a situation, the more my prayers become refined. It becomes refined. It becomes pinpoint. It's no longer am I just hitting the target. Now I'm hitting the bullseye. Are you with me? It's no longer like a shotgun approach. Lord, bless the world in Jesus' name. No, you start to focus on those areas. The Lord starts to give you insight. Sometimes people are held out because of evil influences. The Lord can tip you off in prayer. Amen? Could you imagine the Apostle Paul trying to establish churches in areas that were totally heathen? Imagine the onslaught of the enemy coming around trying to thwart him everywhere he went. Shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead. I mean, that was a living proof of him. That's wherever he went. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. It was true. But he kept the faith. He kept those areas. His greatest grievance was this. When he had to depart, grievous wolves were going to enter in, not sparing the flock. He said, besides all this that's done to me, the care of the churches was my greatest weight and responsibility. I mean, that's pretty awesome, Pastor. Amen. Lord, give us shepherds that care for the sheep, that tend to the needs, that feed and not fleece. Amen. Listen, as we begin to pray for our families, we need to pray with a plan. Pray with a plan. Prepare a list. Listen to me. A good habit. Hey, I need to have time and place for this. Where is that for you? Or is it just whenever you feel like it? It can't be. Start to look and say, you know what? She needs salvation. This needs to happen here. This needs. And your understanding is there. And God will help you in other things. There'll be some things he'll tip you off in. I mean, agree with it. I mean, as the Lord's able. Amen? I found out from my dad in prayer that he was discouraged from going to church when he was a young boy. I found that out when I was 40. How many of the Lord's able to even give you wisdom later on in life? And I talked to him about it. I go, yep, I was discouraged from doing that. They said all pastors were this way or the church just wanted your money. That's not true. How many of that's a seed that was sown in that they believed and held on to it to fortify their position in sin? So I came against that. I said, no, Dad, that's not even true. Here's the truth about it. And then he had to look at his own son and say, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, the Lord can even change that. He can bring down every argument. The Lord can tip you off. But you need to have a plan in prayer. I take things with me like, you know what? I'm going to unload my mind. Sometimes God will give you your schedule, what you're going to need to do. Write it down. Make it plain. That way you don't have to think about it anymore. You know, one of the greatest things is that when we're praying, we become distracted and we're thinking about three or four other things while we're praying. We're covering a need, but we're still kind of hitting here. Or am I the only one? How many of you have been in worship and you've singing the songs, your hands are lifted, but you're thinking about something totally different? Okay, four of you. How many of you can think about your turkey dinner while you're worshiping? And look all spiritual. I mean, look like, man, you're into it. Man, you're into worship now. I wonder what time they're coming over. Is it four or is it three? I don't remember. Did I turn the burner off in? I love you, Lord. Oh, I got to clean the bathroom when I get home. In Jesus' name. I mean, we have that potential in this body. I know we do. And then sometimes you'll catch yourself and go, man, no. I got to focus in. Well, we got to have that. So unburden your heart. Put a plan in place there. Say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to what? We're going to serve the Lord. I have a rule when people come over. There's peace when you come. There's peace while you're there. And there's peace when you go. And if any of those get disrupted, guess who's going? You are. Say amen. How many of those, you're a guest. Bless God. Well, have that order there. It doesn't mean that everyone's welcome, but the truth is that, hey, this is a place of solitaire too. You got to have a place where, you know what, everything unloads. Where is that place? Where's that secret place where you and God can get alone? There's got to be somewhere. Amen? Say, God's good. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6 for a minute. Maybe you've noticed this portion of Scripture, but I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 18. When we pray for our families, we have to pray in the Spirit. That isn't hyping your natural up. That's speaking in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, tell me when you got it. It says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the what? Says, let me say, in the Spirit. So when you're praying, you're watching, but it's in the Spirit. There's something about the Holy Ghost beginning to intercede through you. Begin to articulate those words. Begin to communicate to heaven exactly what's needed. And I only had this happen one time in my life. That I was praying and the Lord gave me the interpretation of the beginning of my prayer just as clear as crystal. Because when I start to pray in the Spirit, it's similar when it starts. And he showed me, and all of a sudden I go, Lord, give me the understanding here. And it was like this, I'll just paraphrase. Lord, you're glorious, omnipotent ruler. It was all glorifying him to an unbelievable level. So even in the Spirit, your prayer language glorifies God. Are you with me? I never question again ever my prayer language. Even if it sounds repetitive in the beginning, it's only glorifying him. It's just coming in that language he has promised. It allows you to unlock the supernatural in that situation. You pray in your understanding and cover it. You also pray in the Spirit to cover those things. And God will do it for us all. I mean, it builds yourself up on your most holy faith. It does. It's like spiritually lifting weights. All of a sudden, you can walk and run through a troop and leap over a wall. Well, I don't leap very much anymore, but you know the principle. Verse 19 says this, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may boldly open my mouth to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Now, James and I, before service, had this conversation. James witnesses to everyone he comes in contact with. It's awesome. But we also, Lord, that I can open my mouth boldly. Lord, and give me words to share. I mean, every Christian should witness. He is the best kept secret. I believe if we all share, that means somebody else is going to get shared more than once. And I have this in my heart. If every Christian witnessed, I have to believe somebody would get witnessed to 4, 5, 6 times in one day. By the time they got home, they'd be like, maybe the Lord's trying to speak to me. Amen? How many of us, the devil will try to throw something in there, a wrench in there, try to get you discouraged? Lord, I'm going to serve you. Amen. Hallelujah. Bob, you have your hand there or you just grin? Okay, yeah, all right. All right, yeah, there you go. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. I love that about God, that he's able to. His hand is not shortened. It's not heavy. It's not missing those. And his ear isn't like, hey, I can't hear you. Even the Lord picks on people that make idols. Hey, pray to your God. We make him out of wood. We make him out of stone. Can your God hear? Your God kind of looks like you. How many knows that he wasn't fashioned by men's hands? And when Dagon was placed by the altar there, how many knows Dagon had a nosedive? God busted his nose. Hallelujah. How many knows he'll break every rock into pieces? I think sometimes we need to realize how great our God is. He hears. And if God hears, he'll answer. No is still an answer. I got to be mature enough in this. So I'm not going to pray amiss. I'll get into that later. But I'm going to pray. Listen to me. People being saved is in his will. In Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If the church misses this, it misses the whole goal. We need to be about our Father's business, to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, I appreciate this church. I really do. We did some monumental things with the size of our fellowship. I'm serious. I've been in bigger fellowships that didn't reach not even a tenth of the people that we reached. I've been on outreaches. Listen, we had over 40 people stuffing envelopes. I've been on outreaches that 10 people show up and 5 of them wanted to do something and only 3 ended up going. Lord, let me be about our Father's business. How many of us, the Lord will honor that? Amen. Amen? Last Sunday, I had a couple come up to me. I go, hey, how are you? And he said, listen to me. We got one of those flyers from your people. And now we've been thinking about it for a while, but we wanted to come and check out the church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I don't know who gave it to them. They said they were local in the area, but somebody came. How many knows that was 3 months ago? They've been thinking about it. They've been thinking about, how many knows there's many people today? Maybe they'll go somewhere else, but they're still thinking about it. Because I ask, how did you know about the address? I got the card. Oh, yeah, that's right. The card was in there, too. I had to refresh my own memory. How many people step out? Somebody's praying for that family. Somebody's sowing in that area. Then God do a work. To me, there's over 10,000 homes that has a work done. Lord, bring it in. Hallelujah. I mean, that seed won't return void. It's not without power. We need to have that expectancy that God is going to do it. Amen? When it comes to prayer, listen to me, there are all types. You know what? There's a prayer of adoration. Lord, I just love you. I thank you, God. You are beautiful and awesome. That we have that confession time. Confession is important. Sometimes you need to confess to you who you are. Come on. You're not defeated. How many of those? I'm more than victorious. Part of that stirring up process, listen to me. If you came into a game and you were on my team, all we're going to do is lose. All we're going to do is lose. How many of those? That's not very encouraging. What if the whole church is like that? Go fight. We lose. Come on. How many of those? That the church can't be that way. Somebody has to speak the victory. God's on the victory side. Notice he said, when you go around Jericho, I want you to march. And then on that last time, I want you to shout the victory. Now, I have to believe, I know flesh like all of you. I wonder how many on day five were like, how many more times do we got to do this? Yes or no? To me, the faith walk around there was getting out your flesh. So when it comes time, you're ready to go. And I'm giving you 6 warm-ups, so number 7, you can get it right. How many of us, we've messed up a whole lot. Sometimes in the process, God will change us. But what if you were standing there, just a little bit off, because none of them, the wall didn't fall on any of them. It only falls on your enemies. Oh, I can preach that. What happens on that day? Everybody shouts the voice of triumph. The earth opens up, it begins to shake and move, and the walls fall down, and you march right in and take what was supposed to be yours without you even swinging a hammer. How many of us, we're going to walk into the enemy's camp and spoil his goods? Sometimes all this toiling, waiting for it, listen to me, we're going to walk it. We just need to be obedient in the process. Notice the shout of victory brought it. Hallelujah. And the Lord added his portion too. Because when the Lord shouts, people are raised from the dead. Yeah. Hallelujah. When the Lord shouts, the church goes up. Yeah. I mean, that's a good shout. Yeah. Listen, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, there were a lot of Lazarus in that day. And a lot of Lazarus that had died. Notice he calls forth the right one. That's why he knows your name too. He'll call forth the right one. Our ways are to bind him up, to bandage him, and to lay him there. His job is to loose him and let him go. How many of us, we need to loose it and let it go? Amen? Church has been too bound up too long. Too many bandages, can't even talk anymore. We're like a mummified people walking around hoping that we can reach somebody. We can't see, we can't talk, and we can't do much. We're still weeping about yesterday's stuff. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's all your fault why he's dead. Aren't you glad he has thick skin, big shoulders? So many times he gets blamed for stuff he didn't do. You know, he says, we got him laid. Move the stone. Move the stone. Hallelujah. I mean, some stones still need to be rolled away. Let's move the stone. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he says, your brother's not dead, but sleeps. But I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Notice he's speaking into that arena. As believers, we have that power to speak into that. But at times it requires perseverance. That means don't give up, don't give up, don't quit. How many times has God came through in the midnight hour? That's when he was going to come through anyways, but we wanted it sooner. It's the fourth quarter. You got one tick left and it's going to be over. And he steps in and says, I'm here. Hallelujah. I'll always come through for you. I've learned that he's never late, seldom early, always on time. He's an on-time God. Amen. And I've learned this, whatever your struggle may be, if you made it through that day, good. It didn't take you out, did it? Just don't make it a lifetime. He'll visit you. How many knows he'll visit you? I always wish when I read in Scripture that when Jesus was sleeping in the boat, they would just would have camped out with him. Imagine that narrative, and the boat went underwater, but they were still all alive. Jesus made the first submarine because he promised them they were going to go over to the other side. Didn't he promise them we're going over to the other side? How many of us, he'd have done something. Lord, wake up, we're perishing, don't you care? And he said, man, you with little faith. I said we were going over there. But the storms, it's always the but. It's always something else. It's always another reason. No, I'm removing all those buts. I got God. Hallelujah. When we pray, as we look at our families, pray through the scriptures. They give us examples how to pray for each other. God speaks through his written word. How many believe that? Man, he look at those examples. If you find a biblical example for your area, man, that's an example you can follow. God said, listen, if I've done it for them, I'm no respecter of persons. But never keep them boxed in that he's got to do it a certain way because he wants to blow those boxes apart. He may do it in an unbelievable way. I've seen God move in people that didn't even know him. I've even heard unbelievers speak about the things of God and bless the church. I had one gentleman one time, I had a youth camp that I was doing, and I needed some serious dough. And this guy was a total unbeliever. But he heard that we were taking care of some students, and he found a way to get a hold of me. He said, I want to help you. I don't know nothing about what you do in this Christian stuff, but I just feel like I need to help you because I saw some things that were helping some students. I went and met him. I say, amen. How many of us, God could do that? And I promised him, look, look, I'll give you a list of all the people who got touched for your generosity. It may not mean much to you, but these students will appreciate you blessing. Amen? Can God do that? He can do that. You've seen it in Scripture. He gave favor with kings. He gave favor to go out and do things. All the more now. Many times, are we really even need his power? Come on. Are we living so fleshly that, hey, the Lord just can, well, we just scoot along all our life. We need the Lord's power. In this church, if you hook up to this church, it's going to be not by might or by power, but by his Spirit. That's the only way things will get done here. That's the only way the Lord's going to do it in this house. I'm serious. So we got to keep it in the Spirit. Yes, that requires more. Yes, that doesn't have natural responses at times, but it's in the Spirit. But we'll reap those results. How many want those results? Anybody, is this good tonight? Hey, when you pray, I mentioned this. How about get loud? How about get loud? It does good to shout sometimes. It really does. It kind of gets that area, man, God, you are so good. Amen. I remember I had a German Shepherd dog, and I would let him in at times, and I would shout the victory, and he'd come running up like, what's wrong? Like there was something wrong. And he'd look at me, and I'd go, there's nothing wrong, dog. And he just couldn't understand the volume. All he heard was the tone. Then I'd get him howling, and we were all set. Amen. I could get him to howl on cue. Oh, he'd go, oh, we're having a good time. Amen. There's something about it. But when you speak the victory, faith moves mountains. I said, faith moves mountains. And all of us will be confronted sometime with some towering things. One way or another, it's moving, I'm going through it or over it, but it's not stopping me. Sometimes when it's overwhelming, the closer you get to the problem, the bigger it is. Sometimes you need to take a new view. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to go back to the beach and take a look at the mountain. Man, this is another thing that I'm going to get victory over. Come on. How many knows every valley has a place to go up? There's always a way. There's always a ravine cut in. There's always a path there. Then, Lord, you're going to make a path here. Our problems, listen to me, somebody else has had them too. There's nothing new under the sun. So the truth is, the victory they got, we can still get now. Amen. If you're taking notes, Matthew 17, 14 through 21. When I look at the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and what will happen? The Lord shall raise him up. When I pray in faith, listen to me, I have to have the Lord's name upon it. It's not in my name. It's not in my works, but it's in his name. In John 14, 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we know that we can get fleshly, but listen to me. It's in his name. That means he puts his stamp of approval on it. That, you know, he's going to do it. Salvation is in his name. He wants people saved. He wants people delivered. So anything you're asking in this realm, God says, listen to me, I'm all for it. The only time you don't get is when you're asking to consume it on the lust of your flesh. And there was a time frame where the church was so consumed with flesh and self, it took away from the true prosperity message. God wanted to bless his church, but it was more than just the man of God getting blessed. It was everybody. Oh, I can preach that. How many of us, the prosperity was for everyone? If you got it down, then teach me how to do it. Not just consume it yourself. Well, that's not popular. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call on me and I will answer you. And notice this, I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Call on me and I will answer. And I'm going to show you great and mighty things, things you don't even know. I love that type of relationship. Amen. That God is so infinite, you know what? Then I'm looking at the great and the mighty, not the lame and the halt. The great and the mighty. That's the God we serve. I want a church like that. That we're looking for great and mighty things. He said he would show. With that, listen to me, we have confidence in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5:14. Then he will answer. I have the confidence. Now, if you were my parents, and I ask you, and it was totally possible, would you do this for me? And you said yes. Should I be able to bank on that? If your word is good and you've proven it, then you know what? It'll be done. True? How much will it be done? Then, Lord, I have this confidence. Confidence in prayer is powerful. It's like you can't be deterred. No, this is what the promise was. And sometimes you have to go out of your way to fulfill that promise. When you make a promise, make sure you keep it. Because it will cost you sooner or later. Anytime you put a date on a calendar, it'll rocket to that date. No matter when it is, even if it's 10 years from now, it'll come to that date. Sooner or later, that date will come. Then whatever obligations you made on it is going to have to be fulfilled. Well, Jesus has a date with us. One day he's coming again. The Father already has it planned, and one day he'll tell the Son, it's time. I mean, he's looking forward to that. He's looking forward to that. God wants us to have confidence. A confident person is a powerful person. You can always tell. Listen to me, if you're going to go for a job, you can be confident. Not that you know everything, but you can be confident. Amen? You're worthy of being hired, bless God. Why should they hire you? Because you're confident. I mean, I know it all, but I'm going to do a great job. How many of us, that matters? I can look at that and read that, say, you know what, that's true. Too many times we're timid in these areas. The enemy kind of runs over us. No! Man, I'm going to stand in my bean field and you're not going to take it. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Then you know what? I'm going to get after it. I'm going to be diligent. You know what? The diligent will find it. Seek and you'll knock and it shall be. That's a true fact. I mean, so I'm going to do that. Then I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. In fact, I'm beating on the door. Hallelujah. Amen. Even the unjust judge said, listen to me, my kids, oh man, this lady is wearing me out. I don't fear God or man, but every time she comes to my courthouse, she says, vindicate me, vindicate me, vindicate me. I'm tired of it. I'm going to give her whatever she wants. I mean, that's consistent prayer. Amen? Which of you having a friend comes over at midnight and you're sleeping? Man, you've had a long day. But your friend just had guests come over and you got some food that we need. It says that he won't get up because he's his friend. Because he keeps knocking. He's going to keep me up all night. I'll give whatever he needs. How many of us in prayer, be that consistent. Hammer that area. No, Lord, you said this is your truth. This is your word. I'm going to get what I'm after. Hallelujah. And since you got it, I need it. He has the power to change lives, doesn't he? Then, Lord, I'm going to walk in that power. Hallelujah. How many want to walk in the fullness of all that you can? Anybody here? How many want to be more like Jesus? I need to focus on God and not the mountain. If you're taking notes, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat heard that the enemy was approaching. This is verses 3 and 4. And he just prayed for God to help. It says this, and Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast through all of Judah. And all of Judah gathered themselves, asked the Lord for help. Even from the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. When you get down to verse 17 in 2 Chronicles 20, it says this, you will not need to fight this battle. Set yourself still and see the salvation of God. How many of this is true? Be not dismayed, for tomorrow the Lord will fight for you. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Jehoshaphat heard and he feared. And you know, he went, no, I'm going to go to God. And I'm going to tell everybody, listen to me, it's time to fast and pray, seek the Lord. Then God brings another word, don't even fear. I'll take care of it for you. All of us will feel that at times. Fear has torment. Fear kind of creeps up whenever there's a move of God. No, don't fear. Fear and faith never walk together. I've never experienced fear before. You heard a testimony. You heard this. You heard this. I've walked in this too. Like that testimony wasn't, that diagnosis wasn't favorable. And sometimes if you ever go to the doctor, sometimes they heap it on mighty deep. There's not a whole lot of hope. Nope, don't know about this one. Don't know if you're going to make it, but, you know, we'll try our best. Well, your best may be it, but God's got a whole lot. He's the bestest. I mean, God will see you through. I love it when I tell doctors, well, I got people praying for me. That blows them out of the water. What? That makes zero sense. And when the miracle happens, it's like, well, we don't know, but we're glad we cured you. I'm glad God came through. Amen? Sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. And blessed is a man or woman who has a couple people in their life who can encourage them. If you got that, you're blessed. Keep those type of folks in your life. Amen? I'll read this to you. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, and it says this, they all began to sing songs of praise. The Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Seir. Listen to me. And they were smitten. I want to be able to sing when the devil wants me to fear. I want to be able to sing. I'm going to sing of the mercies of the Lord. God, you're going to do it. You're going to work. And the Lord, I love the Lord. No one take credit. And the Lord did this. Many times your victory comes out of that praise. Comes out of that worship. You're setting yourself up for victory. Amen. Mountains are moved by the faithful. Mountains are moved by the faithful. Then every mountain's going to move. Mountain of unbelief. Going to move. Then be faithful in prayer. Fearless prayers move mountains. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22, it says this, enter boldly into that place, the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way that is consecrated through his flesh. Hallelujah. Let us draw near to God with a true and pure heart, with full assurance, having our conscience sprinkled against every dead work and our bodies washed with pure water. I love this about the Lord. He's able. Amen. I enjoyed tonight. I got a couple more things here. Now, how many like to fast? You like to abstain from food for a time and to starve yourself and feel hungry for a spiritual purpose. How many of those fasts brings the victory? This is the fast I've called you to bring down strongholds. Listen to me. That's part of being obedient too. And generally, it'd be when you've got a good meal planned. Not when there's just Cheerios or this in the cupboard. Oh, say amen. Lord, you don't understand, Lord God. I've been invited to this party. I wanted you to fast. Come on. How many knows the Lord has the opportunity to invade? There's a couple things that I know. When the Lord prompts me to fast, I know it's not the devil. When the Lord prompts me to witness, I know it's not the devil. Say amen. You can start to recognize what God's going to call you to. He may try to puff you up in it. Oh, no one fasts like you. You're awesome. He'll try to take the other route. But if you feel, then be obedient to it. Then ask the Lord the duration, and then he'll enable you. A 40-day fast is supernatural. The Lord can call you to it. There's no doubt about it. But that's a supernatural thing. But the Lord, what's the duration with that? Whatever that is, set that and be obedient, and you'll be sustained in that. How many believe that? Amen. Amen? Jesus fasted and prayed. I've seen many times that the whole nation fasted and prayed. There'll be times I'll be calling this church to fast and pray on a specific time for victories. How many of us that couples with it? Every time we've ever had a prayer meeting corporately like this, we've always seen an instant response. Something broke through. But the enemy, he tries to fortify that again. We need to see those smashed and continue to be smashed. I'm here looking for people to be touched. I'm expecting from our prayer time, family members to be touched. Amen. Witness to be done. Maybe at their jobs or school or work or at the grocery store. Something's going to break through. Even God can speak to them like he did for my own twin sister. Her testimony is miraculous. Her God just gave her a vision of hell. You're going there. Her rolling out of bed, confessing her sins by her bedside and being changed before she walked out of the room. God can do that. Amen. Then she asked me, would you help me? Back then we had records. Remember records? How many remember records? Now they're coming back to records. She asked me, will you help me burn all these? Because most of them were satanic. And I agreed with her. Amen. My sister and I spent over an hour burning all the records. Stacks of them. Well, for the world, oh, that's crazy. You could have made money on them. No, they needed to go. She said, God told me to clean my life. She took every poster she had. It's like she went through like a vacuum and just everything that was demonic got out. Amen. And I shared with some of you, I prayed, Lord, I pray there won't be even a hint of plastic or this wax left. And I'll never forget, after we were done, my sister left, I looked down in the fire barrel, there wasn't a piece of plastic there. There wasn't a molten thing. It was, I'll be honest with you, that was for me. It was totally consumed. And I'm talking stacks thrown in there. I thought that was cool. I mean, was that even built my faith up? I mean, it was our God's a consuming fire. And she's served the Lord ever since. I mean, that's awesome. An encounter with God. Clean your life up. God will meet you. I mean, we all need that. Sometimes we let things clutter. If I looked in your closets, is there any clutter in there? Some of you are saying, oh my God, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm coming over your house, bless God. I'm going to look in your closet. I mean, sometimes we need a clean house. That place you know you haven't touched in a while. Oh, he's preaching now. Lord, let me open up my heart. Areas you haven't touched in a while, here it is. Amen? Amen. Enjoy tonight. Amen. Let's pray, not selfishly, not in unbelief. And we also need to be specific too. When Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? He wasn't even dumb. Lord, I want to see. Well, obviously the guy was blind. I want to see. I mean, Lord, I ask you. No, oh, Lord, I want this. I mean, ask what you need. And he will give to you the keys to the kingdom. Yes. Amen? How many are believing for families to be touched? Yes. I am too. And we're going to bombard heaven. I know I've been directed by the Holy Spirit to do this. So I'm looking for God's results with it. Not self-glory in this. Corporately, we're together in this. Amen? And what God's doing here, he's going to do elsewhere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, change us, God, from glory to glory. Father, we ask you, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to search us out. That, Lord, the principles, God, you give through your word, Lord, let us apply. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for a mighty move in our families. Now I want you to begin to think over them. Whether they're your mother or father or grandparents or children or grandchildren. Father, that each one, Lord God, come to that saving knowledge. Lord, to serve you in the name of Jesus. Lord, for James's brother, I pray, Lord God, you'll get a hold of his heart. Lord, touch Leo in Jesus' name. Lord, James agonized in prayer over him. God, I agree with him in prayer to touch, Lord God. Lord, for Lauren, Lord God, restore family relationships. Lord, they've been estranged. God, restore in Jesus' name. Now begin to see them return. Begin to see in your heart there's going to be a party for my family. Hallelujah. See it in faith done in the name of Jesus. See the celebration. Not the sin, not the mistakes, but the celebration as they return. Hallelujah. That with great grace to be upon. Lord, spare our families, Lord God. Lord, that not one of them will perish before they know you in the name of Jesus. Satan, we come against your work. The schemes, the lies that hold people's minds captive and in bondage. And we speak the victory upon them. That Jesus make them whole. Hallelujah. And Lord, use us. Lord, like the Apostle Paul prayed, that utterance may be given. God, that we're able to speak boldly, Lord, as you want us to. Now bless your people with strength. Lord God, go before them in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you for your time tonight. God bless you. Have a great week. Enjoy the weather.